Sometimes this world feels like a place where I don't wanna be. I feel so out of place here, 'cause it's just not home to me. But for now I'll tarry here, though the shadows dim my eyes. Still through this present darkness I can feel my spirit rise. Yes, there are blue skies a-coming, though the clouds are dark and gray. Though the thunder and the lightning say a storm is on the way. We've been promised sweet deliverance if we trust Him and obey. There are blue skies coming any day.
We're all too often troubled, but never in distress. We are never in despair, although bewildered, I confess. But in spite of persecution that the enemy deploys, we are not forsaken here, cast down but not destroyed. 'Cause there are blue skies a-coming, though the clouds are dark and gray. Though the thunder and the lightning say a storm is on the way. We've been promised sweet deliverance if we trust Him and obey. There are blue skies coming any day. There are blue skies coming any day. Well, there are blue skies coming, though the clouds are dark and gray. Though the thunder and the lightning say a storm is on the way. We've been promised sweet deliverance if we trust Him and obey. There are blue skies coming any day. There are blue skies coming any day.
Let's go to the book of Revelation, chapter 1. The book of Revelation, chapter 1. My sermon is way too big for me this morning, and it's certainly way too long to finish, but I really believe, in fact, I know it's what the Lord ordered. No question in my mind. I'm going to be teaching on Revelation all week, on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I'm doing a radio program next Saturday on the book of Revelation. It's something the Holy Ghost really got a hold of me this week, and it's just several things that are so imperative in this hour. And the Lord spoke to my heart that there is no way to know what is coming on this world if you don't understand the book of Revelation. Can I say that again? There's no way for you to know what's about to happen to this world if you don't understand the book of Revelation. I mean, it's just plain. And I'll give you the reasons why as I preach this morning. But this book has got to become a centerpiece in the church world. Amen. It's got to become a centerpiece in the church world. And if I knew what to do to make it become a centerpiece, I would give everything I've got and do it. I'm that burdened about it. So let's just read a few verses, beginning with chapter 1, verse 1. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ. And you know, if I stop there, that would be a dozen sermons. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. Notice this language now. You don't listen to the Bible and not hear the words and get the language. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants, that's where we come in, servants, things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. There's five entities spoken of in that one verse. Jesus Christ, God the Father, the angels, John, and his servants. five entities spoken of in that one verse, God gave it to Jesus, who gave it to John, that John might give it to his servants, and he passed it through the hands of his angels. I mean, it's a beautiful truth. And someone says, Revelation is too hard to understand. Why did he call it Revelation? Does anybody know what the word revelation means? It means the unveiling. It means the unveiling. When you give somebody a revelation, you are unveiling. You are revealing something to them. You are showing them something. So God the Father gave it to God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost passed it through the hands of angels who gave it to John, and who gave it to John for his servants, the saints of God, who bear record, this is John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Notice that word saw, not heard, but saw, all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. In just a few words of the next verse, John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Now the seven churches in Asia are representative of the church world, of the church age, of the church dispensation. These are messages to the church from that day until the rapture occurs. These are messages to the church. So I shall preach this morning on the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Boy, I never took a sermon on a book before in my life. And I'm just a little overwhelmed by what is in front of me. But you listen carefully. Let's ask the Holy Ghost to help us, will you? Would you do that with me, Father? May the Holy Ghost help your servant to preach this morning. Hide me in the Spirit, God. Hide me in the Holy Ghost. Hide me in the Holy Ghost. I pray that, Father, in Jesus' name and for his glory. And you may be seated. Jesus' name and his glory, and may you be seated. The book of Revelation is one of the most special books in the Bible. It's a book that I learned to read and love many, many years ago, pastoring Black Mountain. I fell in love with this book somewhere between 1964 and 1968, and just dived into this book with all I had and fell in love with it. And I've been studying it ever since, and I find that many things are still made manifest in this book that I have not seen in those 50-some years. They just get richer, and they get richer, and they get richer. Now, the book of Revelation is really a book where God becomes personal in this book. You read through the 65 books of the Bible, they're all you know from God, and he's mighty real, and we know that. But in the book of Revelation, God becomes personal. And you see him not just as personal, but you see him as that heavenly Father. You see him as the God involved with the angels, and God involved with his Son, and God involved with his Spirit, and God involved with the saints of God, and God involved in all the things that are happening. It brings God right into the personal world of the scripture and of the truth, and places him in the center of his universe, where he is already, but we don't detect it easily, but we will in that hour that is to come. And it's thrilling to see how God becomes personal in the book of Revelation. It's really overwhelming to me. It really is overwhelming to me. And then the word that I mentioned in verse 1, it says, and what he saw. The book of Revelation, now listen to me, is the only book in this Bible that is a series of visions and dramas. A series of visions and dramas. It's like a theatrical production. in chapter after chapter that John is able to see. So John doesn't give us the words he heard. He gave us the scenes he saw. He gave us the scenes that he beheld with his eyes, in the spirit or in the flesh. The Bible doesn't say which, maybe at different points, different perspectives. But I'm here to tell you, the book of Revelation is so many wonderful visions. And John saw them, and then John described them, except chapters 2 and 3, which are seven letters to seven churches. But the rest of every chapter is vision after vision after vision. He says, I saw, I beheld. Those words are repeated over and over in the book of Revelation because John saw them. John saw them. I kind of get amazed trying to figure how all those great productions, of course God is divine and God is omnipotent and God can do anything he wants to do, and God shows them to his son Jesus, who shows them to his angel, who shows them to John, and John is told, you've got to repeat these and tell them to my servants. And so it's a book of all of these visions, these incredible visions. And it's beautiful, beautiful to behold. And in this book of Revelation, we actually see angels manhandle the devil and pitch him out of the midair down to the earth. I mean, we actually see angels, I guess I should say angel handled rather than men handled, the devil, and pitch him out of heaven and cast him down to the earth. Now, I don't know how that how that sounds to you, how that resounds in your heart. I don't know how that makes you feel. But it excites me to know that he's going to be pitched out of the midair and pitched down to this earth with a very short span of time, a max of 7 years. And the angels are going to throw him out, and he's going to get the most awakening moment of his 6,000 years of evil existence. It's going to be a breathtaking time. It's going to be a breathtaking hour. And it overwhelms me to think of such a beautiful thing. And in this book of Revelation, I learned many years ago, every doctrine of the Bible is in the book of Revelation. You cannot ask me a doctrine of the Bible or ask me about it or find it yourself. You don't have to ask me, find it yourself. And you'll find in the book of Revelation is every wonderful truth of the Bible. That's also true with Genesis. The two books that people denied the quickest and denied the most ferocious, Genesis and Revelation, and each of them have a picture and a reflection, a statement, a theological truth of every great doctrine in the Bible, but especially in Revelation. You can find nothing in this Bible that doesn't have a conclusion of some nature in the book of Revelation. It's really exciting. And in the book of Revelation, you will find the angels and the saints of God interacting together. We actually sing together. Angels and saints sing together. And what's beautiful is a few times, Brother Allen, the angels stand and listen while the saints do the singing. Hallelujah. Can you imagine angels listening to saints singing? Can you imagine angels and saints singing together? Can you imagine? These are the scenes of the book of Revelation. You would think that anybody who got a little picture of Revelation would go crazy over the book. Well, that's what happened to me. I got a little snapshot of it, and I went crazy over it because it is so full of these great things that make God and Christ and the Spirit and heaven and hell and the judgment. It makes everything of this Bible just come alive. Amen. It's such a marvelous book, and I love it. I love it because of these truths that are spread without the book. Now, you read 3 John. You read Jude, the last two books of the Bible, and you find any kind of finality, any kind of closing, If we didn't have the book of Revelation, the Bible wouldn't even have a closing to it. The Bible wouldn't even have a conclusion to it. There would be no way to think the Bible was complete if you didn't have the book of Revelation. Because it's not complete without the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation just brings a conclusion to the whole Bible. It brings a finality to the whole Bible. And that's how God meant for it to be. It was God who gave us the book of Revelation. It wasn't some man. It wasn't an angel even. Although hands was used. But I'm going to tell you, it was God who gave it to his son Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you excited about that? And then if you talk about judgment of sin, the Bible talks in different places in the scripture of the judgments of sin, the devil and evil, but you never see it till you get to the book of Revelation. If there was no other reason to love the book of Revelation, then you must love it because it is the finality of the devil. It is the end of the one called Lucifer. It's the end of every demon spirit and every fallen angel. It's the end of every wicked man and every wicked woman. It's the finality of a sin-cursed world, a sin-cursed earth, and the cleansing, judging, purifying, hallelujah, making all things new. Hallelujah. The book of Revelation is about making all things new. Do you hear me? Say that with me, will you? The book of Revelation is about making all things new. Say that again, and the rest of you say it this time. The book. I'm going to stop. Everybody, the book of Revelation is about making all things new. I mean, it's the cleansing of this mess. You get sick of it? How many get sick of the newspaper, television, the dramas of the world at this present moment are breathtaking? The things of evil are everywhere. The people on Friday of this week fought like dogs over things to buy in stores, like those things are the ultimate. Fighting over toys, fighting over gimmicks, fighting over little pieces of equipment, fighting over one. I saw a woman jerks a, what was that? Oh, brother, it slipped my brain. But something from a child that it took for mama to buy. I mean, I'm amazed at all of that. Oh, friend, it's all temporary. Hallelujah. There's a book called the Book of Revelation when God's going to take care of judging wickedness and sin and darkness and evil and ugliness. Hallelujah. And make our world so beautiful, the Garden of Eden will almost have to bow his head in the beauty of what's coming. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Now, I got to tell you some things that I want you to take home with you. The book of Revelation is God's word to completely destroy the possibility of fear in the lives of his children. The book of Revelation destroys any thought of fear in the heart of God's people. The book of Revelation was written not to scare people to death, but to warn you and to tell you that you have nothing to be afraid of. You have nothing to be negative about. You have nothing to be dark about. You have nothing to be troubled about and depressed about, because God has it all under control. And he's laid out the end from the beginning. He's given us a picture of how this thing's going to end. He showed us the last hurrah. He showed us the last hallelujah. He showed us the last joy. He showed us everything you need to throw fear out the window and to live in the joy of the future. Hallelujah. I'm not afraid of tomorrow. I'm not afraid of Obama. I'm not afraid of Putin. I'm not afraid of the Iranians. Hallelujah. They may have their little moment in the sun, but I got news for you. There's a higher sun than the present sun. Hallelujah. And the future is bright with the lights of heaven. If you don't shout, I'm going to. Raise your hand up. Hallelujah. Our future has no need of fear. There's nothing to be afraid of. The Father has the control in his hands. He's laid it out. You can read it for yourself. Hallelujah. And you can shout hallelujah, because God has got things under control. Oh, hallelujah. The book of Revelation dispels fear. It throws fear out the window. If you're fearful, it's your fault. You haven't been reading the last book. You don't know how this thing's going to end. This thing's going to end with a shout like this world has never heard before. I know I'm loud. Was in a restaurant last night with Brother Keith and Brother Dylan and the young people, and we got through, and there were some folks sitting way over there. I don't know how they heard me, unless I'm a big mouth. But as soon as we got up, they wanted attention, and it was two of our listeners of the radio that heard my voice. Well, you ain't heard nothing until we come to the conclusion of this thing. You ain't heard nothing until the last hour falls upon this world, and we begin to enter into the joys of the heavenly Creator. Eyes have not seen and ears have not heard, according to Paul in Romans, First Corinthians, the things which he's prepared for us. Hallelujah. Our future is bright with the lights of heaven and the joys of the Holy One. Shout hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Brother John, is it exciting to think about our future? Oh, what a day that's going to be. So, number one, don't you forget it. You have no reason to be afraid. I said, you have no reason to be afraid. You have no reason to live in depression. We live in a depressed world. People are so depressed. That I said to a preacher the other day something about depression. He said, half of my congregation is on some kind of medicine to help them with their depression. They got to take something to go to sleep, and they got to take something to wake up. They got to take something to survive the heat of the day. And it's just like we're so dependent. We forgot that Jesus was beaten in the hall of Pilate. Hallelujah. Under his body was like the ripping of clothes and cloth. His body hung with his own skin. Hallelujah. For my healing and for your healing. And the Bible is full of these kind of promises. Hallelujah. 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 Then the book of Revelation is full of the victories and the triumphs of Jesus Christ. You see, in the book of the gospel, the book of the gospels, and the epistles of the New Testament, you see Jesus as the man who was crucified for us. You see him as the Son of Man who died in our behalf. You see him crucified but resurrected. Hallelujah. But in the book of Revelation, we don't see the man, we see the Son of God in all of his majesty and glory. The book of Revelation is a picture of the divine Son of God from Revelation 1 to Revelation 22. Jesus is triumphant in that book over and over and over again. It's a book of the triumphant Christ. Read the first chapter, and you will find 40 words that speak of Christ and who he is. And one of the finest words is the word amen. He's the amen of God's creation. He's the amen of God's holy Bible. He's the amen of every preaching and every sermon. He's the amen of every song we sing. He's the amen of every testimony we give. You see, Jesus is triumphant in the book of Revelation. You ought to read the Revelation for no other reason. I want to see the triumph of my Savior. I want to see him as the great Son of God who was crucified, who took our place on Calvary's tree, who is alive with the name above all names, who's coming again in glory. Hallelujah. So the book of Revelation is a book of the glory and the majesty of Jesus Christ. I mean, it's literally filled with the beauty of his majesty and his glory. I love to read the book just to love on my Jesus. the love of my Christ. How could anybody ignore the book if all they wanted to do was believe deeply and more powerfully in the Son of God? Oh, I love the book of Revelation. I really do. And then it's a perfect picture of the triumph of his saints. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm in the flesh. I'm still in the flesh. Sometimes I'm in more flesh than I want to be in. Does anybody else ever feel that way? I mean, really. Sometimes this old flesh, it can get contrary. If you don't believe it, ask Sister Chambers. I have to go pray. Father, help me. Help me. Help me get this flesh under control. A preacher who's not disciplined will somewhere down the road fall on his own merits. I'm here to tell you, we got to discipline ourselves. We got to put this old self under control. This old flesh is not easy to handle. But I got news for you. There's a book in this Bible called the Book of Revelation where we're going to move beyond this old flesh. And from chapters 4 to chapters 22, we wear white garments. We got crowns on our heads. We're shouting and singing and praising God. We're getting ready to rule this world with a rod of iron. I'm telling you, it's exciting to understand what's awaiting us. Hallelujah. Our future is so full of joy and excitement and happiness and thrill. Oh, how many are looking forward to that? How many really want to stay here? No, I want to go there. I want to stay here as long as he needs me, John, but I'm looking forward to going there. Triumph and joy and victory. You think I'm loud and you think I shout a lot down here? You wait till you see me over there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a joy. I'm telling you, this book of Revelation is the picture of the triumph of the saints of God. Now, I've already showed you it is a picture of the triumph of Jesus Christ. It is a book that shows us we have no need of fear, but it's a book that shows us what our future is like. Excitement and a new body. Hallelujah. A new body. A temple that is absolutely like the Lord's temple, literally, that I can do the same things he can do. I won't have to try to run my way home. I can just zip my way home. Hallelujah. It's going to be one of those blessed days, and you wait till you get there in your new body. In the book of Revelation, it's a picture of it over and over and over again. You can just read the book of Revelation and say, man, I'm glad I'm a saint of God. I'm glad I've been saved by the blood. I'm glad I'm a Christian. I'm glad I belong to Jesus. Look at the world, and they're depressed and they're broken, and they're dying like flies with all kinds of diseases. But I've got a healer while I'm here. I've got angels encamped around me. I got the Holy Ghost in me. I got Jesus on the Father's right hand. I got my Father in heaven caring about me. Hallelujah. And I got promise after promise after promise of what my future is going to be. Raise your hand and love him. Raise your hand and thank God you're saved by the blood. Are you saved by the blood? Are you saved by the blood? Are you saved by the blood? Hallelujah. Oh, I'm here to tell you. I get so excited when I get to thinking about it. You know, dressed in white with a crown on my head. There ain't many of you that haven't wanted to wear a crown. I mean, we're all kind of haughty, aren't we? Unless you're good and sanctified. I've known a lot of Christians that were sanctified, but I've known a lot of them that weren't sanctified. And the sanctified ones are hard enough to get along with. Somebody say amen beside that one I heard. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you something. We got a day coming which is so breathtaking and so wonderful. Oh, I don't know about you, but I get excited. I want to stay here and work. I want to preach. I want to be a blessing, Sister Judy. I want to love people and minister to people. I want to preach until everybody in the world hears me. I want to get this message out with everything inside of me. But I'm here to tell you, I can hardly wait for that blessed day. Hallelujah. Singing with the angels, isn't that going to be wonderful? Singing while they listen. You know, when we leave here, we ride on clouds. But when we come back, we're riding on white horses. Did you hear what I said? When we leave here, we're riding on clouds. But when we come back, we're riding on white horses. How many knew that was in your Bible? The book of Revelation. What if we didn't have the book of Revelation? You wouldn't even know that we're going to ride back from heaven on this great, great herd of white horses by the multitudes and millions. You're talking about a sight to behold. You wait till the devil sees us coming back from heaven on those white horses with Jesus up front. Hallelujah. What a day that's going to be. Leaving here on clouds, but coming back on white horses. Leaving here as persecuted saints, living in a world that cares nothing about us, but coming back with a rod of iron and the word of the Lord and the crowd that hated us. We're going to rule over them. We're going to be the kings and the queens and the governors and the congressmen and the Supreme Court justices. Hallelujah. When we come back, those who gave us hell for living for Christ, we'll be able to judge them and make them do right, and we'll do it with a loving heart and not with the same bitterness with which they operate. No, we may leave here weeping. I can imagine the rapture taking place and me looking over toward some of my family's house, and I'm looking for them to rise out of the house, and they don't come, and I can imagine weeping as I ascend up through the sky. But when I get there to where he is, he's going to wipe away those tears from my eyes. I may leave here weeping, but I'm coming back shouting. Did you hear me? I may leave here weeping, but I'm coming back shouting. The Bible said he wiped the tears from our eyes. You said there won't be no tears in heaven. Well, how in the world does he wipe away tears if there's none up there? Huh? I'm sorry, but I believe there'll be some tears when we leave here. I believe there'll be some tears when we leave here. I know one thing. I certainly would be one of those. I got grandchildren. I love more than I love my right arm. I'd do anything in my power for them. I will love them to the last moment. They can't say anything so unkind and so mean to stop me from loving them. I'm praying for them. I'm believing God for them. But if I have to go up in that rapture without them, I'm going to do some weeping. But it won't last long, because when I get to the presence of my King and my Redeemer, he's going to wipe those tears away. Hallelujah. And I'm going to turn around in a short period and come back a shouting and a praising God. And the memory of all darkness will be over, and the thoughts of all broken hearts will be gone, and we will come back in the beauty and the glory. I'm telling you, the book of Revelation is a book of hope. It's a book of the excitement and the joy of the saints of God going to heaven. Are you ready to go? Are you determined to go? I promise you, it's going to be something. It's going to be something. Now, I've got to take a moment. The book of Revelation is a picture of our enemy, the devil, and all of his demons getting what they deserve and have been deserving for a long time, the end of their darkness and their wickedness. Do you understand when the rapture takes place? We will go up through the midair. Do you understand this? Stay with me. When the rapture takes place, John, we're going to go up through the midair. Well, my Bible says that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. So that means we got to pass through his territory. But God's going to send angels by the multitudes. Multitudes of angels are going to descend with the King of Kings. And they're going to surround the route of the raptured saints. And not a demon can break through the protection that they will set up. And I can imagine the old devil standing off there somewhere madder than a setting hen. If you look at the book of Revelation, you'll see him angry. You'll see him angry from the moment he appears in chapter 12 and is cast out of heaven. He'll be angry and angry and angrier and angrier. Oh, but his day is almost over, and he's having his last shot at trying to set up a one world order under his wickedness, and he'll do his best for it. But there'll be moment after moment of that great 7 years in Revelation where he gets the saddest of treatment. You know, he hates the Jews. How many knew that? You know, the first thing that happens after the rapture is 144,000 of the Jews get converted and sealed and protected. And I can imagine the old devil standing out there somewhere, better than a sick man, watching the Father or his angels and John, watching his people that he has fought to kill, watching them be converted and being sealed. And he knows when they get through being sealed, he can't even touch them. Hallelujah. God is putting his... See, the whole book of Revelation is a picture of the devil's defeat. Yeah. You know, when History Channel, remember when they did the series on Revelation? I was part of it. I had to go all the way to Hollywood to tape some of it, and then had to go back to Washington to tape some of it. I remember all of that. But I remember that whole series was disgusting to me, because I went there and they didn't quote me but a few little times, because everything I had to say was so exciting and so good. Because I don't see Revelation as something to make me scared. I see Revelation as something to make me shouting. Hallelujah. It's a book of the future for the saints of the living God. Hallelujah. If you're right with God, the book of Revelation is not scary in the least. You've got to squeeze something out of that book to make it scary. And then the only way you make it scary is deal with some sinner, some wicked person, some devil, somebody who don't know anything about the truth. The book of Revelation is a picture of Satan's judgment. I can't wait to watch when God's big old angel reaches over there and gets him by the nape of the neck. I'd like to show it to somebody, but I don't want to make somebody feel like that. I think they're a devil. But they reach over and get the old devil by the nape of the neck and say, "Boy, come here. You've had your day. You've done your darkness." And they cast him in the lake of fire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, church, I'm here to tell you, the book of Revelation is the most exciting book in the Bible. There's no book that can match it. Because it's the end of all of the Bible and brings us to this triumphant and marvelous hour. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I get excited. You know, the psalmist David wrote a psalm called 23. Psalms 23. Everybody knows it. You know what verse 5 says? "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." You know what the book of Revelation is? It's a picture of God preparing a table for the saints in the presence of their enemies. The whole book. Start with chapter 4. And God prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. Finally, the saints of God will not be treated like the offscourn. Finally, they won't criticize somebody because they live a holy life. Finally, they won't criticize ladies because they're ladies. And they won't criticize men because they want to be masculine and they want to be men. Finally, they won't criticize us because we don't believe in fornication and adultery. Finally, they won't criticize us because we don't go to the places of ill repute and drink their strong drink. Oh, yes, they've loved criticizing us. But I got news for you. The day is coming when we'll be the citizens of heaven. And this world will be ruled by these saints of God. And godly men will sit in every place of position, every spot of authority. And this world will be so full of righteousness, the Bible says it will be like the oceans covering the earth. Hallelujah. The righteousness of God will cover the earth like the waters cover the sea, the Bible said. How many want to be there? How many are sick and tired of this mess you're living in, and you're willing to live for Christ in the middle of it? I want you to love people around you. I want you to be kind to the unsaved and the unholy and the impure and even the devil person that shows up at your door. I want you to be kind. But I want you to know one thing. They've got a short time in front of them. And we've got a long day of coming. I like to think of heaven as my long home. My long home. I'll be there. I love the old song that Fred Williams sung. Still got it on a tape. Play it once in a while. Where will you be a million years from now? Will you be happy? Will you be free? You know, this book of Revelation. No wonder the churches. Does anybody know 6 preachers who are preaching on the book of Revelation? I don't know. There's a few, mostly ones I know, but maybe others that I don't know. And there's so many crazy doctrines being taught about the book of Revelation, or about the end times, I should say. And most of it's because they don't really know the book of Revelation. When you know the chronological order of the book of Revelation, nobody can mess up your end time theology. Your end time theology is messed up because you don't know this last book of the Bible. Now, I'm telling you, church, I want you to get in your book of Revelation. I'm telling you, church, I'm telling you, saints of God, you start reading the book of Revelation and it'll change your life. You'll quit wanting to live in sin if you've been living in sin. You'll quit wanting to even be like this old world. You read the book of Revelation and really read it. I don't mean read it. I mean dig it out like a miner in a gold mine. Digging out every little nuance. Can you tell when I read a scripture in the book of Revelation, every word of that scripture comes alive for me? Just like I read verse 1 and it says, of all the things that you see. I'll never forget the day I read that. See? What do you mean? And I start chasing that through the book of Revelation. And I find out that all of these things that John talked about were things he saw in a great drama. Theatrical production by the angels of heaven for St. John to look upon and to view and then to write down in word form for the saints of the living God to enjoy. Is that what the book of Revelation is for you? Drama that John saw, wrote down by the Holy Ghost, put it in a book form and sent it to you so that you would not have to be afraid, so that you would not have to worry about the future, so you would have to figure out what tomorrow holds. So you would have to figure out, is the rapture pre-trib, or mid-trib, or post-trib, or no-trib? You know? Every bit of that's answered if you just take the book of Revelation. Every bit of it's answered. It's clear. And those people out there who say there is no God, wouldn't they like to think there is no God? Because their hide is in trouble and they know their future. If there's a God, they're in deep, deep, dark, dark, dark trouble. Oh, listen to me. There's a God in heaven. Hallelujah. But he loves you. He doesn't want to scare you. If he could scare the hell out of you, he would love to do that. And I mean that in a biblical sense. If he could get you to give up the world and sin and get hell out of your future, he would love it. But he'd rather tell you the truth. And you know there's one thing about God. He doesn't save you by scaring you. He saves you by loving you. He saves you by loving you. Oh, church, I know I've got to come to a conclusion here, but I want you to know something. The book of Revelation is a living, vibrant, Holy Ghost-filled book. The book of Revelation is so on fire with the Spirit of God and the life of Christ and the majesty of the Heavenly Father. The book of Revelation is so full of hope and so full of joy and so full of excitement. The book of Revelation is so full of our future. It is so full of things to enjoy and the things to love. There's just no end to it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I love it. I love it. I love it. And you know what else it's full of? Rewards. Rewards. How many of you, if you got a call to go somewhere for a job, take you a week, they're going to pay you a couple $1,000 for the job, and it's decent, it's good, it's nothing ugly, all pure and clean. You'd go, wouldn't you? How many of you would go for $2,000 to work a week somewhere? Let me see your hand. Almost nobody here. And the rest of you are probably fibbing by not raising your hand. Yeah, thank you for chuckling with me, sister. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something. This book's full of rewards. You talk about rewards. This world don't know what rewards are. Hallelujah. I was looking in a cabinet at the house the other day. I don't know whether mother wants me to tell this or not, but one of the most beautiful cabinets full of china. It is gorgeous. She got a 10-piece set of that stuff. 10-piece set. And it's beautiful. I mean, I've been overwhelmed. I've never paid much attention to it. But all of a sudden, I guess I'm getting old. I don't know what it is. But I saw how beautiful it was. Honey, where do you get these? I got these from S&H Green Stamps. and my eyes almost dropped out. She said, "Don't you remember, Daddy, when we was at Black Mountain? And I'd go to Winn-Dixie, and I'd get green stamps with my grocery money." And Teresa said, "I remember as a little girl sitting there putting those green stamps in those books. And Mama got that whole set of dishes as a reward for collecting green stamps." So Sister Elaine sent me a picture of something at her house on the porch, and just kind of bragging on it. And so I made a picture of that china cabinet and sent it to her. And I said, "Mama got these from S&H Green Stamps when we were pastoring at Black Mountain." She said, "You got to be kidding. My husband was raised on the street here in Fort Worth where the distribution center for S&H Green Stamps was." She said, they came from right here in Fort Worth. And I thought, oh, what a little world we've got. But that's a reward. And this little girl has had more rewards of things like that. She could stretch a dollar a mile and a half. She's done that all of her life. And I don't care how much trouble we got in and we need a few pieces of money. She'd always say, "Well, Daddy, I've got some put up somewhere." Every time for 60 years that we had a need, she had some head for just that hour. Because she's a woman who knows how to gather these rewards. Oh, do I love her for her faithfulness. She don't like for me to bring her into my sermons, but I do it anyway because of how much I love her. But I want to tell you something. Rewards will never be understood until you walk down those streets of gold. And the Lord says, "Hey, son, you've been faithful to me. I've served him, Brother Keith, 63 years and 8 months. I've lived for him totally. I can say with all my heart, I've lived for him totally. I've lived for him with all I got. What are you going to get when you get to heaven? I don't know, but it'll be more than I deserve. I promise you that." Well, no, that's not true. Because we get rewarded according to how we live. So I only will get what I deserve. Boy, I sure hope I've been good. I sure hope you've been good. I'm telling you, the book of Revelation is a book of rewards. Hallelujah. It's just so full of promises. It's so full of things to look forward to. It's so full of things to believe in. It's so many reasons to serve God. Hallelujah. It's so many reasons to be a godly saint. I'm here to tell you, it's right down the road for us, saints. It's right down the road for us, saints. Hallelujah. I'm trying to finish. But I want you to know something. The book of Revelation is not 10 past 12 in Mississippi. It's only here, okay? It's 10 past 11 out there. I want to preach one more thing. I want to preach one more thing. He has prepared for us a city. I was reading this week in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16. I love it. I wrote it down. God is not ashamed to be called their God, picking up people of faith, for he hath prepared for them a city. Now, all of these things about Revelation, all of these things about the beauty of this great book, all these things that are the future that awaits us, there's a city in the middle of heaven and the new earth. You know, it is so tall. Do you remember this in the book of Revelation? Where the Bible says that God took, well, his angel, took John to a high mountain to show him the city. If you were looking at a city 1,500 miles high and you were standing here at the foundation, you wouldn't even be able to see but about what? About 100 miles? You couldn't see 100 miles. 10 miles. Could you see 10 miles? You a deer hunter, how far can you see? 10 miles. Can you imagine looking up and seeing this city 1,500 miles high and square and 12 foundations? God had to take him to a high mountain to show it to him. I'll never forget the day I read that. God had to take him a high mountain before he could even see it. Is this kind of preaching all right? Is this kind of preaching all right? Can your granddaddy beat me? I think you ought not even ask. Answer. I'm kidding with you. I'm kidding with you. Keith is my friend. Listen to me, church. That city is the grand reward. call that the grand finale. Hallelujah. I remember years ago when I went to movies, they'd have a grand finale. They'd have something at the end that would capture your attention and make you want to come back. Well, I'm going to tell you, when we get to heaven, we got a grand finale. You wait till suddenly that city comes, the Bible says it comes descending down out of heaven. I can almost see the whole world as they stand in awe, as they watch that city coming down. I remember the Holy Ghost saying some years ago, it's already in the process of descending. And I would suppose that's probably true. The city of New Jerusalem is coming down from heaven. Somebody, praise him with me, would you? It won't be long. Would you stand? Father, we bow our heads and our hearts before you. We're nothing, God. We're nothing. But you saved us by grace. Your blood washed us from our guilt and all our sins. You made us new people, children of faith. Wrote our name in the book of life. Do you understand, saints? What he did for you by grace so that you could have this great book of Revelation as your heritage. By grace, he saved you so you could have the book of Revelation as your heritage. The book of Revelation, I like to say it like this, is a treasure trove for the saints. It's a treasure trove for the saints. It is filled with one glory after the other. It is filled with one majesty after the other. It is filled with one grand promise after the other. Now, how many of you want to serve him with all of your heart? Raise your hand high. I want to serve him with all of my heart. Hallelujah.
Now, celebrate me home. Celebrate. Celebrate me in that land of wonder where nothing can compare. Celebrate me in that place. Celebrate me saved by grace. Don't just sit and weep because I'm gone. Celebrate me home. I have spent to take the trip from here to heaven's throne. With the shield and word of God to guide me, it's a comfort knowing I am not alone. So when I